is the Great Shalom Broadcast, proclaiming that God wants total well-being for all children.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm going to talk to you today about sleep. Sweet sleep and how you can get some and why you should. Yes. So you may say, well, Sharon, what kind of a broadcast is this? Are you religious? Are you health and wellness? Well, yes. So our foundational scripture is Isaiah 54 and 13. All your offspring shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be their shalom, their great well-being. There's no word in English that's like it, because it means all well-being, nothing missing, nothing broken. It's not just peace of mind. It's not just health and wellness, as we say in English. It's shalom always, and of course spiritual too. We're not a chopped up entity, right? So, if you want a scripture verse, we got two today for sleep. Psalm 127, he gives his beloved sleep. So it's vain for you to stay up late, etc. Wow, there's a faith verse. And Ecclesiastes 5 and 12, the sleep of the laboring man is sweet, but the abundance of the rich suffers him not to sleep. Well, that, both of those bear some meditating on that scripture. And we're going to see. So, I started this podcast, this broadcast, I started on the radio, because I was so concerned about children who needed healing, and we needed so much. It was so pervasive through society. And so I really was concerned about the healing of learning disabilities. Today, while that may be almost as ubiquitous as it was then everybody thought they were alone. Today, people don't even recognize it because we have so many character difficulties because of the way we are rearing and teaching children. And so it all fits into that scripture. I'm pretty timid about talking about parenting. In fact, I don't do that. I let other people do that. I don't think I am some sort of expert on that, but I do know what science is, and I do know how to teach. And so, and I do know the Bible. So usually I bring you things from the Bible and from science or an interview. Today, some practical mothering advice, and that's biblical too. The older women should teach the younger women. Yes. So, imagine if you have a young male who is low IQ and low academic achievement and low skills, low life skills and low social skills. It may be difficult for you to know where to start, and you don't know what the root issue is. Is he low achievement because he's low IQ? Is he low IQ because he's low health? Is he low social skills because he's low everything else? Maybe it's the health that's the root issue. And that can be impacted in a major way, or influenced in a major way, by the rearing, by what goes on in the home. So we can't diagnose an individual, but given this scenario, this construct, what if we started with the mother and the health practices? What if we had not just going to church, but we had a healthy lifestyle? We had healthy food and healthy sleep. What if it was just the sleep? Let's zero down in this theoretical construct. What if? What if sleep? So, do you realize that many, many children are not sleeping? Many Americans, many people with this modern lifestyle are not sleeping. In fact, this has never been such an option as it is today, because we have electric lights so ubiquitously all the time. Everyone has electric lights, even the poor among us. So we are relatively rich in the history of the world. Also, we have perhaps less exercise on average than ever before. My generation, I'm a grandparent now, I could have sat in front of the television, but that wasn't common. Most of the kids on my block, in fact, I think all of them, were out playing most of the day. And I think that's not true today, that parents are worried about their kids being outside for any number of reasons, and the screens are more ubiquitous. So my mother did limit our television watching to a couple of hours. Was that 2 hours a day? I think so. And also tightly screened what we watched. But today, if the majority of young people, even maybe children, have phones, they have a screen there to be watching most of the time. So they have less physical activity. And so that is connected very much with our ecclesiastical verse. They're certainly not going out and taking care of the sheep or feeding the horses or running after the chickens to get one for dinner. They're not doing the physical kind of chores that we did when we all lived on farms, and they're not even out on the playgrounds in the way that they were when I was young. So what are they doing? If they're interacting with the screens, their bodies are not active, and so they have less activity, and so they may be less physically tired. Their minds may be actually more tired, and that may make it more difficult to go to sleep. But I think more importantly than that is the screens being on after bedtime. The screens being on after bedtime. You know, it's very difficult to go to sleep right after you've had light shining in your eyes. That's something that has never happened in the history of the world. We were out in the sun, but then there was twilight. There was dusk and then twilight, and then there was dark, and humans were in sleep cycle during dark. And very few were any different. But that was very, very typical. I mean, the watchman, perhaps, and he might have to start a fire so to keep awake. But today, we can have electric lights. And people seem to not know, although it's in most of the health literature and most of the parenting literature and that I read lately, is that if you want a good night's sleep, turn your screens off half an hour before you want to go to bed so you can wind down. So that's good advice for adults. I know so many, in fact, I know one woman was very sick because she wasn't getting the sleep, but her husband was watching television in the bedroom. And I couldn't talk to her about this. Well, apparently her husband was very much attached to that television. But, you know, there are these little eye guards or blindfolds that used to be common for travelers. Well, you can make one if you can't buy one. And put that over your eyes for a while before you expect to be going to sleep. And sleep so many hours. You know, a teenager should be sleeping 9 hours. And we used to know that. It used to be common knowledge that younger children needed more sleep and teenagers needed sleep. And we all needed 8 hours of sleep. But this seems to no longer be in the, you know, common sense. If there is any, you know, the common consensus. Everyone needs sleep. Everyone needs sleep. Now, you can go without sleep, but your brain will not develop and your cognitive capacities will not be there if you are sleep deprived. And in fact, 4 nights of going without sleep is enough to make many a college student flip out and need a trip to the emergency ward and some time in the psych ward. Yeah, that's actually happened. It's not all that rare. But today, we have become accustomed to not sleeping enough. So turn those screens off. Well, if that's true, that adults need to turn their screens off half an hour before they want to sleep, how much more young people need to turn their screens off and not keep them on all night. Turn the screens off. The radiant light in the eyes keeps you awake. Your sleep is part of cognitive reset. If you don't sleep enough hours, you won't have the brain power. Do you see? So in our scenario of a very a young man who's very much behind the eight ball because he's low in all things, the root of it could simply be lack of sleep. And if this is chronic, you have chronic low brain power, and you go to school chronically with low brain power, then you're not getting what you should be in school. And then you chronically have low achievement, and so people think you're stupid, treat you stupid, accommodate your stupidity. Although, if you're sleeping in school, you probably will get some negative rewards about that. Would they not speak to the mother? Would they not talk about a more healthy lifestyle? Or would they just down the kid? I don't know. But I'm talking to you, mothers. Be sure your kids are actually sleeping in those bedrooms. There's no place for a television in the kid's bedroom. There's no place for a television in a child's bedroom. Television should be in the living room where you can watch what's being aired. And many families insist that the computers are in the common space as well. If this is not true, you do need to have parental controls, and you do need to have a screen off policy, and you do need to check. So, but I know it's common to have computers in the bedroom. And the phones going in the bed? No, never, no, never, never, never. If you are a professional on call, there might be a reason to have a phone within arm's reach. But not if you're a child. Not ever, not ever, not ever. Take the phone. Particularly if your child is having trouble in school. We have to sleep at night. Second, very root cause of not sleeping is ingesting stimulants before bedtime. So pops have a lot, so soda pop has a lot of caffeine in it and sugar in it. Both of those are stimulants. They should not be ingested after about 5 o'clock. Don't you know that most adults don't have coffee after about 5 o'clock in the evening? Why is that? Because they want to be able to wake up in the morning. They want to sleep at night. Well, why would you serve pop to your kids? Even a late dinner at 7, it's too much. And adults know, and certainly competitive adults, people who are doing sports, know that they have to hydrate. But you know, pops and tea and orange juice don't hydrate. They're diuretics. That means they may, and coffee, make you go pee. So our kids are getting diuretics and not being hydrated. Your brain doesn't work. And if it's not hydrated, give your children water or milk, or milk substitute, depending on what they need, at supper time, not pop. But I know young people who are having as a midnight snack 3/4 of a loaf of white bread smeared with heart problem inducing margarine along with a pop or a Red Bull at night. Public high school teachers for some years have been talking about the increasing problem of children being too sleepy to pay attention in class. Now, I remember even back in my day when I was in high school, there was one kid who kept sleeping. And we knew his life story. He wasn't living in a organized household. So we thought that he wasn't sleeping at night. The other high school kids, in no authority, we didn't think that he had a medical problem. We thought he was living in a disorganized household. But there is an increasing problem today, increasing number. And of course, there are medical conditions. I don't know why those would be increasing through the population, but I do know that the ubiquity of screens has been increasing. I do know that child rearing has been increasing. I do know that mothers have their attention and energy taken in other directions from mothering. And so while it may be true that high schools should start later, it's also true that students should be sleeping at night so they can be most effective during the day. And if students are used to not sleeping at night, but rather playing video games and then getting passed through school by the fraudulent application of No Child Left Behind, meaning just lowering standards or cooking the statistics, for whatever reason, if they're getting through high school and they hit the workforce, what's going to happen in the workforce? Do you succeed at a job by being so sleepy all day that you're just not fully there? Is that going to work? Well, if you're brilliant and you have a menial job, that can be acceptable for a while, but I don't think that's a recommended procedure. And if you don't have a steady sleep schedule, then one day you're going to sleep through your alarm, or if you're so undisciplined that you don't set one, one day you're going to be asleep in your bed when you should be at work. This happens too many times, and you will not have a job. And so in our theoretical construct of a young person who has many problems, what if the root problem is simply the lack of sleep and the mothering behind it? Do you see there's a root problem here of not sleeping, and we're not sleeping. Now, there are a few people who have medical problems. If you have a medical problem, if you're one of those rare cases that go see your doctor, but this what I'm talking about is not rare. It's a cultural phenomenon based on forgetting something that everybody knew. So don't have stimulants. Turn off the screens and go to sleep. And then sleep by faith, because the other scripture that we read, Psalm 127, said he gives his beloved sleep. So there's a very famous preacher who had these problems when he was young. He didn't eat well. He didn't sleep well. He was grouchy. But as a man, as a faith preacher, he says he goes to sleep by faith. So if you have many worries on your mind, well, he sets them aside by faith. If it's something you need to remember, write it down so that you don't have to hold it in your mind. And that way you can relax your mind and go to sleep. By the way, this is also true for older women. Women in the United States are sleeping less than their peers in other nations. And in fact, I remember when I was in college, went to a presentation in the psych department for graduate students about how to sleep less, because being a graduate student, of course, is competitive, and how to sleep less is every night, go to bed 15 minutes later, you can accustom yourself to less sleep. Well, you can do this, but it's not a very good practice for the graduate student because you lose your creativity. So you can do that. Not a good idea. Ask me how I know. I know because when I was writing one of my master's theses, I was working full time and I slept 4 hours a night, every night, for a year. But after that year, I was very brain injured and I had to really do some studying about how to bring my brain back. And I was reading all this cognitive deficit science, and don't do that. And now I have to be very, very disciplined, and I sleep more than most people my age. I have to. I need it, and I have to take supplements, and I still worry. So don't do as I did. That injures yourself. Now, you can do it, and it's a wonderful gift from God, because if we're in an emergency situation, a truly emergency situation, then we can stay up. And the military makes their men stay up and so forth. And they found that they've overdone it. Anyway, do sleep. God will give you sleep. Manage yourself well. I mean, teaching and prudence, wisdom, knowledge is part of the shalom lifestyle. It's not faith alone. You know, go out, be stupid, and think that faith will cover you. That's not a wise plan. So be wise and have faith both, yes? And so as a mother, teach your children good habits so that they can be successful. They can be successful in school and beyond, yes? And then use those same habits for yourself. And while I'm talking about habits, let's talk about the Sabbath. The Sabbath was instituted before Moses came along, and it's a 7-day rest. I think it was a good idea. I think God knew what he was doing when he said, rest, oh, 1 day a week. Now, I don't need to get into controversy about when you should meet for your worship. The New Testament clearly says that the Christians were meeting on the first day of the week. So all I'm saying here is rest 1 day in seven. You know, Napoleon thought it would be much more efficient if we would have 10-day work weeks. And so we instituted that, 10-day work weeks. Just like the French instituted the meter. Wasn't that more efficient than the imperial system? Yes, except it didn't work at all. Productivity plummeted. Bodies and minds need rest to function optimally. Now, they can function without it. You know that slaves can work 100% of the time, but just not well. So you don't want to work at a slave mentality. You want to have optimal well-being, and you want that for your children. So sleep every night, 8 hours or how many ever the doctors say, 8 for an adult, more for a child, because their brains are developing, and you want to provide good conditions for the brain to develop, and then take a 7th day rest. Take a 7th day rest. And if it's true for adults, it's also true for mature adults. American women tend to have hot flashes, and women in many other cultures do not. Part of that is what we eat, but part of that is we are tired. We are tired. We are chronically tired because we work, we take on men's roles, and we also don't sleep, and we also worry. So what was that we read in Ecclesiastes 5:12? The sleep of the laboring man is sweet, but the abundance of the rich will not suffer them to sleep. Yes, so we're rich in our food, we're rich in our devices, we're rich in our worries, and so we don't sleep. So maybe we should live more simply, do exercise, and have a good sleep, right? And have sweet dreams and a life of shalom. So I urge this upon you mothers. I urge this upon you workers. I urge this upon you mature women to sleep. In fact, I was just reading Life Extension, and one of the great doctors who was being interviewed, her protocol, exercise, sleep, and supplements before you try these medicines, which are not off her table, but notice that sleep was in her protocol. All right? Science says it. The Bible says it. Common sense says it. Please consider it. Now have a good sleep and sweet dreams. Well, and if it is bedtime and you're not too sleepy, why don't you read a book? You know, I have a few. Learn at Home for Great Shalom. How to Not Lose Your Faith in College, God Wants You Healed, and some others. So come to the website at www.greatshalom.org if it's not bedtime, and check out our offerings there. We've got some prayers for your child's teacher, if you're beginning the school year right now and you need a little prayer guide, then you can click through on the free offers tab. But do come. Please participate there. Tell us what you think. Or if you'd like to submit a prayer request or a personal comment, you can email me at info@greatshalom.org. So that's info, I-N-F-O, at great, like big, G-R-E-A-T. Shalom is S-H-A-L-O-M. Please do come to the website, participate. And also share this broadcast with someone who you think needs some basic mothering advice. So we're in a series now, Basic Mothering Advice, and you'll be able to purchase the whole set on CDs if you would like. And let me know if you would really prefer that we move into the modern age and do this all digitally and even with a cryptocurrency or with PayPal, which is much more likely. Okay, but do participate at greatshalom.org. Well, and I should mention, since I did say the word supplements in this episode, that we are partnering currently, this is 2017, we're partnering with some suppliers who can sell you supplements, essential oils, and some music that's healthful and at a good price. So you can click through from our website at greatshalom.org and let us know how you fare with that. We only want to partner with the very best of suppliers, but we thought that it was value to you to point you to some reputable and inexpensive sources. Okay, hope that serves you. Please come back next week. And this is Sharon Sorrells proclaiming that God wants total well-being for all children.
Thank you for joining us for the Great Shalom broadcast with your host, Sharon Sorrells. Sharon is an author, educator, minister, parent, and grandparent committed to sharing the understanding of God's love and desire that all children experience optimal well-being in this generation and the generations to come. The Great Shalom broadcast is here to bring hope, health, and healing for children and youth by inspiring, informing, equipping parents and educators. For more information on today's program or today's offer, simply log on to thegreatshalom.org or email info@greatshalom.org.